In a world where happiness is plastered on everything from fast food meals to Instagram posts, Aristotle's ancient wisdom offers something far more profound. His concept of eudaimonia, genuine, lasting happiness, isn't about fleeting pleasure, but about living well through virtuous action. This isn't abstract philosophy, but practical wisdom that has influenced figures from Thomas Jefferson to Martin Luther King Jr. What makes Aristotle's approach so enduring? Unlike philosophical systems advocating withdrawal or emotional suppression, his ethics center on full engagement with life. Happiness isn't something that happens to you, it's something you actively create through deliberate choices and habits. Most encouragingly, Aristotle insists virtue isn't inborn. Anyone can decide to live well at any point. His approach transcends cultural and religious boundaries precisely because it focuses on universal human experiences rather than dogma. In essence, Aristotle offers a comprehensive program for flourishing that remains remarkably relevant after 2,300 years. For Aristotle, eudaimonia is an activity, not a feeling, something you do rather than have. It emerges from goodness, learning, and effort, not from material wealth or genetics. It comes from an active mind engaged in understanding the world and living virtuously. Jefferson's pursuit of happiness drew from this concept. The approach is democratic. Anyone with the capacity for virtue can achieve happiness. While obstacles like poverty can hinder joy, they aren't absolute barriers. Realizing potential requires becoming aware of it and actively developing it. This involves both biological growth and rational potentiality through conscious action. Though we can't control our origins, we can shape our purpose by identifying natural talents through our desires and experiences. When time flies during certain activities, it signals nature guiding you toward your calling. We must dare to pursue our dreams. More people regret not trying than failing. Together, we share responsibility in helping others discover their potential and create conditions for their flourishing. While modern research focuses on daily choices, Aristotle emphasized life-shaping decisions that affect others. His approach balanced quick intuition with logical reasoning, similar to Kahneman's systems 1 and 2, while considering precedence and luck. Aristotle called skilled deliberation eubulia, the ability to evaluate options, predict outcomes, and commit to choices. He focused not on ultimate goals like happiness, but on finding the best paths to achieve them. We deliberate only about uncertain matters within our control, taking responsibility for active pursuit of happiness. His enduring rules for deliberation include: avoid rushing decisions, verify information accuracy, seek unbiased expert counsel, consider all stakeholders, learn from precedents, account for chance events, stay clear-headed when deciding. The Persians voted both drunk and sober, acting only on matching verdicts. The effective deliberator sets realistic goals, systematically evaluates options, makes a choice, proheresis, and acts decisively. This self-directed path to happiness remains resilient against all but random misfortune. Even satisfied individuals seek self-improvement. Aristotle's virtue ethics provides moral guidance through learnable habits, similar to mastering a craft. These qualities develop over time, typically maturing in middle age as desires become more manageable. The golden mean, the balance between excess and deficiency, forms Aristotle's core concept. Most psychological qualities, including sexual appetite and anger, are healthy in moderation, offering a practical framework for growth. Aristotle views brooding as worse than quick-tempered expression and resolution. On generosity, which balances wastefulness and meanness, true giving depends on intention and proportion to means. Self-made individuals often give less than those with inherited wealth, having known scarcity. Finding this balance is challenging, a hard task to be good, as Aristotle notes, comparing it to finding a circle center. While anyone can express anger or spend money, doing so with the right person, to the right amount, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, demands wisdom and practice. Aristotle declares friendship life's essential component. Without it, he claims, no one would choose to live, even with all other goods. He views both sexual and non-sexual bonds as forms of friendship, philae. Aristotle identifies three types of friendship. Utility friendships are pragmatic arrangements where both parties benefit practically, like helpful neighbors. These require basic trust, but often end when circumstances change. Pleasure friendships form around mutual enjoyment and are common among young people. These shift with changing interests. Love affairs often begin here, but only deepen when both value each other's character. Primary friendships are permanent, committed relationships built on time and trust. Unlike the other types, these withstand challenges but require careful cultivation and regular contact. Aristotle recommends maintaining fewer than 5 primary friendships. Notably, Aristotle makes no distinction between primary friendships with family versus non-kin. Chosen friends can prove more loyal than biological relations. In our workaholic culture, Aristotle's view seems radical. Leisure matters more than work and requires education to use well. While modern society defines us by careers, he believed human potential flourishes in leisure. Work sustains us physically, but leisure nourishes our souls. Aristotle would have opposed the modern work ethic that made work an end rather than a means. He recognized that people lacked preparation for using leisure wisely. Without guidance, they either become workaholics or waste time on empty diversions. Recreation shapes moral development through our chosen activities. While Aristotle valued pursuits like exercise and music, he emphasized dramatic literature's power to enrich emotional and moral life, unlike Plato's skepticism of entertainment. As the first champion of art's educational value, he believed drama producers should be public officials. He considered fiction superior to history for ethical exploration, as it expressed universal truths rather than facts. His storytelling formula, plot, mythos, character, ethos, mental activity, dianoia, and language, lexis, remains fundamental today. His concept of catharsis connects artistic experience to emotional healing, as tragedy arouses emotions like pity and fear in a controlled setting, helping people better manage these feelings in life. Thinking about happiness inevitably leads us to confront death. While Aristotle called death the most terrible of all things, he saw it as final and used this awareness to guide living well, unlike Plato's belief in immortal souls. Aristotle viewed each life as having its own narrative arc, encouraging us to author our stories. This perspective helps us plan lives focused on fulfilling human potential. While accepting death's finality, he recognized humans' desire for immortality through children, art, and influential ideas. He likened life to alphabetical letters that form either tragedy or comedy when rearranged, showing how things transform while parts endure. Nature's perpetual process of coming into being was God's solution to creating an eternal being. How we live, with virtue, purpose, and connection, matters more than longevity, becoming our greatest legacy.